Recording, and then I'll start streaming. So it's connecting now. Let me just double check to make sure that everything is golden here. This is always the fun part of when we do these. It's like, and live stream now. And it's like, okay. All right. It's showing
Okay.
live.
Yeah, are
Oh,
we
look at
live?
that. All right. It's showing live. All right, let me
Yeah,
just
are we live?
have to mute myself there on that one so I don't get
Yeah,
that
I was
weird
gonna say that
feedback.
because I can hear you.
All righty there, sir. Do 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 do. All right. So, we're officially live. How do you feel?
Well, I'm still not sure that we are live. I mean, with the boomerish trend of today.
Well, I'll tell you what, you keep doing what you're gonna do. I gotta read some advertisements and product placements. That's what helps pay for this podcast. So
Okay, sure, go ahead. I
you do
hope there's
you.
some chocolate in there.
And I'll do me. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Stellar Sound Podcast, where music of creativity and the artist meet me. When I get to sit there and I get to interview them, pop some questions, and figure out what makes them tick, how they tick, how fast they tick, and how fast they can get annoyed with my questions. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you in part by Dungeons and Dragons! I know, right? The big nerd
Oh,
inside of
yeah.
me. I know, Milan, it's so good. So Dungeons and Dragons is one of my favorite games on the history of this planet. I've been playing it since I was in grade 9, from 3, 3.5, and 5. Those are my favorites. You can fight me if you say otherwise. And I'm just in love with the whole franchise in terms of everything that comes out. I used to buy books all the time. Now I found out through PDFs you can buy them and buy them. Don't illegally download them. You buy them, and just easy to carry around on my iPad, which I do, and they're a good casual read. But this particular episode is brought to you in part by the new one that came out by Faye Games. That's FAE, called Corruption of Kavestar. I'm still waiting for my copy to come in, but I'm excited to read this, man. Just looking at the cover and the artwork, it has some like weird Gorgon monster thing coming out, kind of like Legend of Zelda, which has already given me some throwback vibes. And I'm just really excited to see what I can do, see what I can muster up in this campaign. All I know is so far about the campaign is it is going to involve a interesting quest. Now, I get that interesting quest is very much a broad statement, but ho-ho-ho, they always get better, don't they? We all remember the first one in 3.5, where you and your buddies went to a bar and then had to go rescue some dude and some gremlins and some goblins. We all know how that played out. I died the first time I played it, buddy got kill shot. But it's okay, it's not gonna happen this one. You know why? Because Faye Games, that's FAE, is the best around when it comes to writing this stuff. And I myself am so excited. My book is coming straight from the Netherlands because that's where my boss is. So, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, we are done with the advertisements. Woo! And now, as you see on my screen, I share it with somebody, a man who's better looking than I am and has an awesome headphone. He also has a green shirt on for those who are colorblind, like one of my friends who I know is colorblind and will watch this later. That's a green
I
shirt,
have
my
a
friend.
colorblind friend too.
Oh, awesome! Cool, we'll discuss that.
Come to say hello to him now. Hi, Dylan.
You guys are in a bowling league now. You have no idea
He's
what
a
your balls
bass
are, but the
player, actually. He's a bass player and he's awesome. So, yeah.
perfect. Ladies and gentlemen,
Thank you for complimenting on my shirt, by the way. I really love it.
Oh, good. I like it too. I like neutral colored shirts. It makes it easier for acting and just walking around in public, to be
It
honest.
doesn't show, and it doesn't show how overweight I am.
You're European. You can't be overweight. It's illegal.
Compared to some other folks, right?
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, the man that you see in front of me, the man that you hear if you listen to this through any other sources like Spotify or iTunes, is a guy by the name of Mr. Milan. He just goes by Milan. I like to throw Mr. in front of it because of that MM sound going on. He is part of a band called Ego. They have an amazing song right now. I mean, they have an album coming out. You know what? I'm not even going to tell you all about that. I'm going to let him and I discuss that in the future. I don't want to spill too many beans. You know me, I'm the type of guy to tease you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to another episode of Stellar Sound Podcast, Milan. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's really, really fun to talk to you again. I mean, we talked a little bit today when we were setting the sound, so it's really, really great to actually do this. Slightly nervous, if I may confess.
Don't be nervous, man. Pretty much how this podcast works is as such. You essentially run it. You talk the most. I'm just going to ask questions and kind of pry, poke, see where we can take this conversation. and see if anything cool comes of it in terms of just like little behind the scenes. I know that fans like that. Fans definitely love to know about the musical history and what you do. So let's just chit chat, have a conversation like we did this morning with a lot less cussing. Because tech sucks.
The first thing that I should say.
First thing. All right. First, you should introduce yourself. What is it you do and who are you with?
Well, currently in my room, there's absolutely nobody except for this, the dolphin, which can serve also like a sort of like a neck pillow or whatever you call it. My name is Milan and I come from a town of Niš in Serbia. Mm-hmm. It's, I never know if it's the second or the third largest town in Serbia. But, you know, when you say second largest, it sounds like, wow, massive. No, it's not. Like, maybe 400,000 people, I think. And, yeah, what do I do? Well, I'm an English teacher. I majored in English language and literature like 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Means I'm not so young anymore. Okay. And yeah, what else? Yeah, so yeah, I do this thing with this band that you mentioned.
I do this thing. What do you do?
Well, maybe it's a little bit too early to be talking about that. Maybe a little bit after hours kind of thing. Yeah, no, we as you said, and thank you so much for your kind introduction. We are called Ego, and actually the band has been going on for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. But you know, after you know some gigs and some and an EP that we released, we made a break, and then you know I didn't really know what to do next with that, so I was a little bit depressed when it was kind of like some members quit. And so then I didn't know if I should continue doing this or not. Mm-hmm. And then there were some of us, me and some of my friends. And then I started writing, you know, just writing some songs. And then I said, hey, maybe we could make an album. So, and then basically after a bunch of, you know, completely unimportant stuff, I mean, to mention here, we actually got together, and the guys that I'm playing with now are my friends. There's four of us in the band, and we started playing like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's a very complicated and tangled, actually, adventure that this is, but knowing that things are kind of slowly, you know, the pieces are coming together, it kind of feels good. We finally released our first single. Oh. We were very nervous about which song should we release first. Actually, to be quite honest, this was supposed to be the second single, but it was kind of like it was kind of like the what do you call it? Spur of the moment or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that works.
Oh my God, I'm starting to forget English. It was, you know, the last moment decision that we said, like, it should be this song that we released called Hypnotech.
Yeah.
I think it's a completely made up word. And I really wanted to, we really wanted to try this one instead, because we think that it's like the most, I dare say, the poppiest song maybe on the album, you know, okay. Because, it's catchy. I think it's catchy, and that's why we wanted it to be the first single. So basically here we are, and we are waiting for the entire album to finally come out. Super excited and eager and hella nervous about that. So yeah.
Well,
should be out later this year, I hope.
I was gonna say. So I have a few questions to kind of draw back on. Number one, or I guess comments as well. Number one, I've been privy enough to listen to the whole album, and I must say it is amazing. I was listening to it before you came on, just kind of get a feel for it again. There's a few songs I definitely gravitate towards more than I do any others. For the North American fans that are going to be listening to this, it is it's all in English. It's not in Serbian for the most part. And it's honestly the rhythm, the tune, the melodies of the whole thing, and you're so drawn by it. I almost feel like it's a story in my mind and what's happening, just kind of like the struggle of what's happening going through, especially with, well, I'll get to that later. Yeah. Moving forward, why? So you had said there was a spur of the moment decision when you had selected the song. I thought it was pronounced Hypnotic, but Hypnotech.
Hypnotech, yeah.
I was just wondering how you pronounced it. I was like, is he trying to do it this way? When Hypnotech was the one you decided because it was poppy, what was the original one that was going to come out first?
The one that's gonna come out next.
Yeah. Okay. So that's.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you because, I mean, by the time it comes out, actually, I'm not sure that's gonna come out next. It's going to be the next video because this first video, which was done by our friend Igor Jovanovich, who I think did a pretty nice job, you know, because we wanted it to be a simple video but effective. Which kind of gravitates from the start to the finish of the video. It starts, you know, it's a little bit, we wanted it to be a little bit psychedelic, but not, mm-hmm. We didn't want it to cause epileptic seizure or something, you know? So yeah, I wanted it to be more, you know, more lights and more movement. But then, you know, Igor, who is a professional, he said like, no, we should not do that because we don't want people to get a headache when they watch the video. So basically, this video was, we wanted it to be simple, yet hopefully a little bit of an eye candy, if I may say so.
Yeah.
And the next one should be a little bit story driven. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be something like a short film. So yeah, ooh. That song is Butterfly Effect.
Oh, you were telling me. Ooh, you heard it here first, guys. Butterfly Effect. That's like my third favorite song in the album.
Thank you. I love that song so much, to be honest, because it's just some of the songs you create, it takes a whole lot of time, mm-hmm. especially if you want to get the sound right, and you sometimes you're not very sure what you want, but you want an atmosphere, and you're like, okay, how do I get this? Because we... personally, I really like music which is kind of like a combination of raw and synthetic.
Yeah.
That's why one of my favorite bands is Muse, because I think that they're, you know, they're absolutely crazy, you know, when it comes to this. And they're so, so brave, but I still don't dare to be so, you know, out there when it comes to that. So one of the most complicated songs was Undo,
right?
And that one is basically what you heard is still not a 100% finished version, but yeah, you had the privilege, I guess.
Oh, it's definitely a privilege.
Oh, thank you. And I think that you know, some of these songs, they were just so it took such a long time to make them. But Butterfly Effect, I don't know, I was just sitting in my room. Like, I can see myself sitting here because my desk is now here and it used to be here. And I just took the guitar and I was like, I started playing. Mm-hmm. And you know, most of the time when I start playing, it's like just mumbling. So I was like, it's just complete mumbling. And then I guess I had the chorus, if you remember it. The chorus was like, ooh, I'm a lie, and so on, you know, and I had that bit immediately. It's just, I always thought that it was a little bit like crap when people say, oh, where did that song come from? And they say, it came from above. But this one really felt like that. I was like, oh my God, I stole this from somebody. Definitely. Because I was super easy. Proud of that one. Yeah. But yeah, that one just came like this. And then I had to work on the lyrics.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I don't think it would have been a good idea to keep it mumbling, you know?
There's only one artist I know who did that, and that was Childish Gambino on his album Kawaii. Mm-hmm.
Mumbling? He kept the mumbling.
Yeah, I think it was in Candler Road. He's like...
Nice.
Oh, no, wait, it was... It's like, I don't have words for this song. I know it should sound like this. Do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. Awesome.
I can't remember. No, it wasn't Candler Road. It was something else. Either way, point is, if you're doing that, that's Childish Gambino. You guys are on the same wavelength. I'm just saying, Your
I
god.
Love Charlie Creator,
Oh,
by the way.
I shook his hand one time and I cried.
Oh, no. You attended his concert?
Oh, I attended his concert once, but I met him in public the other time.
Man, what was he like?
Okay, so here's a bit of a story, and I'm sorry to take this over for a quick second, but in Toronto, it was Trinity Bellwood Parks. He was going on his, like, he was doing that weird thing where he put on Twitter being like, I'm in Atlanta today. Meet me at this place at this time, and we'll play the album. So I was in Toronto.
Really?
Yeah, he was doing it for BTI, for Because of the Internet. And I was in my second year of college, and I was supposed to have a math test that day. My buddy called me, and he goes, dude, check Twitter. I check it, Toronto, or Childish had said, you know, Trinity Bellwoods, I'll be there by 3. So I went down to my teacher, and I said, hey, I'm sorry to say this. My grandmother's in the hospital. She really needs me. And I completely lying, and I just left, right? So basically, I almost killed off grandma for Childish.
Oh, no.
And it was worth it. So I got there about halfway through
Childish,
the album.
Childish Gambino.
Oh my God, yes. Childish Gambino. Actually, sorry, I've been to 2 of his concerts. Totally forgot. And then,
awesome.
So anyways, I went to Trinity Bellwoods, and in Trinity, there's a bunch of trees. So I ended up climbing a tree just kind of-ish above him, and he had the world's poopiest speakers because I couldn't hear much. It was him, his brother, and a girl. And they're just sitting there smoking weed. MTV comes by. Much Music comes by. The news comes by. They start interviewing him. Blah, 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 blah. The album finishes. He goes, thank you, Toronto. Stay tuned for, like, the tour dates or whatever it is. And he leaves. Now, the way it goes is he was sitting here, and then he was walking out this way where there's, like, a gated arch. And for some reason, the fence only runs about 10 feet each side, so they just gave up making a fence. And so there was a crowd of people, and the crowd either went with him through it or left or right. And I went to the left, and he went to the right. And I was like, no, Childish. And then as I'm sitting there, yeah, exactly. As I'm sitting there, like, wallowing in my sins, a car pulls up, like a black car, and a chauffeur gets out. And he goes, hey, are you a fan of Childish? And I said, yes, I am. And he goes, watch this. Calls him up, and he goes, yeah, I'm over here, like, raises his hand. Childish turns around, he starts walking towards me, right? And I whip around, and I was like, I love you, sir. And he's like,
and okay, I love hearing that stuff.
it gets better. So they're walking towards me. It's Steve G, his brother, Childish Gambino, and the girl. And I just had my hand out, and I said, you know, Childish, you're an inspiration to my comedy, to whatever I do, my acting. And he just reach over and grasps my hand ever so slightly, and without even making eye contact, we're essentially just walking this way. He goes, keep doing you no matter what they say.
Aww, that's epic.
I know, right? Like, it was so good. Oh,
more
like,
than, like, cheesy, but it's cool.
I'm like, he totally rehearsed that line.
I'm gonna have to tell. Oh, yeah. Maybe he's like, this is just like a generic message, you know,
oh,
like
100%.
Automatic, like, keep doing you, keep doing you. And then when he comes home, he's like, keep doing you. No, that's a great story, actually, I gotta say. And people, by the way, because you're a comedian, and I guess that you definitely had to watch Community, right?
Of course.
Oh, I love Community. Yeah, it's such a good show. And I was so bummed when he left.
I know. The whole show went down after he left.
Yeah, definitely. You could see that they were trying to keep it up, but it didn't feel right without Donald Glover. Okay, so I was going to say that, actually, now that you said that, I really got to say a story. I really got to tell a story, because, and I know that my friends, if they're listening to this, they're going to hate me so much, because I said this story so many times.
I love it.
But you know the band Queens of the Stone Age, I hope?
Yes.
I met Josh Homme.
How?
The singer. It was so ridiculous, because they came to Serbia. Oh, I can't believe it. It's been 7 years. So they came 7 years ago, and it was the best concert ever. And I just had so much fun. And, you know, there's this song that's called I Never Came, and I love that song so much. And I was, I wasn't really first row, but like first 10 rows or something. And I yelled my fucking ass off, yelling like all the time, like, I never came. You know, I love that song so much. And I was hoping that they would play it. And then they go off the stage, and then they get back, and then they start playing that song. And I was like, I was just asking my friends, because it starts with the drum beat. And I was asking my friends, is it that one song? Is it that song? Is that song? Yeah. And I was like, I was almost crying when they started playing it. And then after the concert, you know, because a huge number of people, a huge number of my friends came from Niš to the city of Novi Sad, where Exit Festival is held.
Okay.
It was like this beautiful fortress there. And we, me and some friends, you know, they actually, my friends were leaving, the ones from Niš, and I had this friend from Belgrade, and she and I told her, like, because previously I had met, in this way, I had met Beth Gibbons of Portishead.
Okay.
Yeah. And I said something like, okay, let's go to the back, and I'm sure that we're going to meet Josh. And she was like, oh, are you sure? I said, yeah, we just got to be patient. And so the next thing that you see, like 15 or 20 minutes later, the fortress is empty, completely empty. My friends had gone, and I called them, and I lied to them that I had lost my wallet, and I stayed to search for it, you know. And as a matter of fact, I was just waiting for the, you know, the guards to go away so that I can go to the backstage and meet Josh. And so this friend also, she said, okay, Milan, I'm sorry, but I really gotta leave now. And I was like, okay, don't worry, I'm gonna stay for a little while. And then I met the guitar player Troy, and I thanked him for the song, and he was the nicest guy ever. But then I go into the tent or whatever it is, because there were more bands, and then the Queens of the Stone Age tent was the biggest one, of course. So I enter, I sneak in, and then I see on like a short hallway, I see Josh, who is like a giant. He's like 2 meters. I'm sorry, I don't know how much that is in feet and inches. I'm
it's terrible. Like 6'8".
Yeah. Good, nice. That was quick. So yeah, and I see him turn. He's, you know, his back is turned, and he's speaking to some guys, and then he's like, ha, 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 and he goes into the other room, and I yell like the biggest fangirl ever. I'm like, Josh! He turns back, he looks at me like this, and he says, in these words, Jesus fucking Christ. So he walks towards me, and he gets bigger and bigger. He's like this giant, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get smacked or something like that. And I said, you know, I'm like a kid. I said, can I have a photo with you? He said, what have you got in return? And I, being the dumbass that I was, I didn't even bring a glass of beer. I should have, you know. And I just check from my pockets, and I see that I have some tissues. And I said, I swear this is not a made-up story. I say, I have tissues. Maybe you'll need them later. And then he says, maybe you'll need them later when you're crying.
Oh my God.
And we took a photo, and there's this picture. And he looks like, you know, first he hugged me, and then he moved his hand like this. But it's the best story ever. Yeah. So I'm sorry if I spoke too much on that.
No, it's all good. This is what this podcast is about. It's about getting to know the artist, right? So every artist has that artist they fangirl over, man.
Oh, man, and there's so many of them that I fangirl over. And by the way, you said that there are some, you said that Childish Gambino is mumbling, but the one that mumbles most is Björk and Sigur Rós. They use gibberish in their songs, and I think it's amazing. But I'm not so good at that. It would sound ridiculous if I did it.
Would Ego ever pair with a rapper for a song?
Well, I think that this is something that we would have to ask the rest of the guys, because I think, you know, my band, we are all completely different when it comes to music. All of us listen to completely different music. For example, my drummer is like this straightforward grunge type. The bass player, he's like completely he's like the definition of an indie or alternative rock kind of guy. He's, you know, he's, you know, borderline underground, and he's not very into commercial stuff. And then there's Ilya, the guitar player, basically he's all over the place, but he's more into hardcore. But the beautiful thing about him is that he's like a sponge. He just, you know, grasps it all in, right? Am I, if I ever use the wrong word, please correct me. Okay. So he's listening to all kinds of stuff, and then I think that maybe him and I might agree to this, but I'm not really sure about the rhythm section, because I listen to rock, alternative rock, but I also like to listen to some really good pop music and electronic music and chill music. I really love Air, the French band, if you know Air.
Never heard of him.
Oh, they're amazing. You've got to check them out. So Air, AIR,
Okay.
wonderful music. And I think that I'm going to send it to you.
Please
So
do.
basically, I don't know if it ever comes up, if it ever comes along, who knows, maybe. But one thing that I know that I would never do, and I'm really sorry for, and I'm really sorry, not for, but maybe I should be. Oh my God. I'm really sorry to anybody who is a fan, but I really would never do trap. It's just something that I don't understand. Call me a boomer, call me a hater, but ego will never do trap. This is what I swear. I swear, as long as I'm in the band, no trap in ego, but maybe some rap part. Actually, to be honest, Hypnotic in my head, which was like created the idea for the song, was brought, actually came up. I came up with it maybe like 10 years ago or something.
Okay.
But just the melody, like ding 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 ding, and I had it, and I was like, maybe there should be some rap stuff, like some rap verse. But I gotta say, I'm glad that I didn't keep that. So no rap for now.
That's fair. That's fair.
But I think I could do some mad rapping.
I feel like it'd be
I think
dope.
I told you about the Macklemore. I can do thrift shop.
For those of you who don't know, when we were setting up the behind the scenes where we were discussing on how we're going to make this work and how we're going to make this look good, and we're trial and error and some stuff. Because as you know, guys, this is our first time streaming Twitch. By the way, we have a few people watching right now, so hello to you guys. But also, yeah, we were talking about Macklemore in like 10,000 hours, essentially. And in that song, he discusses about how an artist is never truly satisfied, and that's the sacrifice you pay, which is true, whether it be, like a painter, a comedian, an actor, a musician of any kind. And then Milan casually just says, he's like, "Hey, I can rap all of Thrift Shop." I was like, "What?" Just out of nowhere. I'm like, "All right, I accept it. Cool." So that's how that came to be. Now, what was your first instrument that you played?
Well, the first and only instrument that I ever played is the guitar.
Oh no, I don't mean like learned well. I mean, it could have been like the recorder or the triangle. It could have been
Just
whatever.
trying? Oh, well, it must have been the that lame kind of, is it a synthesizer or whatever, that kids learn at school. It's just really, really bad, with those kind of different sounds of different instruments, and then this beat that goes something like lambada or something like, and then you play over it. So it must have been something like that. My sister was in the school choir,
Oh.
and she, yeah, actually, and she was really good at it, and they kicked me out. They kicked me out. My teacher told me that, I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing wrong, and still to this day, I'm not sure what I was doing wrong.
You're like the
But
Michael Jordan.
I wish that I could look back into the past. Maybe if there had been some kind of like time machine. Now at this age, I would just like to go to my fifth grade and just listen to me, and probably I would say, "Oh my God, yeah."
That's funny, man.
So
So,
yeah,
like,
it was the synthesizer,
okay. And now you play the guitar like a legend.
Yeah, no, not really.
Oh, I'd say.
I think that, my guitar skills are pretty, moderate. But the thing that I like, I was always lazy to practice, I was always lazy to practice scales and stuff. But I find beauty in not knowing everything, because there's always more to discover,
Of
and
course.
then there's a challenge. If there is a melody that comes up in your head and you're like, "Oh dear, I can't play this," and that's like, okay, I gotta practice it. So yeah, that's why I think it's beautiful. That's the beauty of playing an instrument, like, playing the guitar. There's so many ways and so many sounds that you can make, what with the effects and pedals, and even without them, just so many different styles, approaches, couple of days ago, I saw a guitar, which is like this, is it like a MIDI guitar? Mm-hmm. But it also serves as a regular guitar, but it has all these kinds of like, because I told you that I like Muse, it has this like screen and there are some buttons and twitches and whatever, you know, and it's like amazing. So basically this new guitar, you can play, you can set the tone of the piano, and when you play on the guitar, it sounds like a freaking piano. So that's why I like the guitar. I think it's an ever evolving instrument.
Right. Okay. That's a really in-depth answer, because I know a few people, like the one I sent you, Murphy, she loves her her electric guitar. And
I get to hear that.
She's so good at it. And like, this, like, it's not even fair. Like, you hear that song and it's like, oh my God. And then she's also just as deadly with her acoustic guitar. But one of my friends hates the acoustic guitar so much, will never play it. Only electric. And I was like, really?
Well, the first thing that, of course, I mean, many of us start with the acoustic guitar first. And then I hadn't touched the guitar, the acoustic guitar, for a long time. And then when I start playing, and I'm like, oh, it kind of feels like home, because I don't know, there's so many people who just shred the electric guitar, and I'm really not the type of guitar player, you know. And then when I take the acoustic guitar, it just feels so natural. I don't like playing the chords, you know, like the bonfire type thing. It's so boring, you
smoke
know?
In the water.
No, I can't do that, really.
Trust me,
the ex-Yugoslavian rock, oh man, you know, when you're, for example, when you go to some trip and you have a guitar, and they will always ask you for this, like a school trip, and then they ask you for that stuff, and you gotta know that stuff, and you hate that music, you know. I mean, those songs that everybody requests. But yeah, I really like creating melodies on the acoustic guitar.
Okay, all right. So if we can change focus of the conversation right now to the album that's coming out. We flirt and we tease with it a little bit. All right, so you had mentioned that some of these songs, like, or at least one of them, was 10 years. Butterfly Effect was a 10-year song. Out of the album... Sorry, which one?
Hypnotech.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 10 years ago, yeah.
10 years ago. How much of the album do you want me to talk about? Do you want to talk about the track listing? Do you want, like...
Anything. I'm pretty fine with that. As a matter of fact, I'm really glad to... It kind of feels good to just let it out a little bit, you know, to, I feel like I'm, you know, I've been keeping it for myself for such a long time. I feel like I got another confession to make, you know? So yeah, it really feels good to actually talk a little bit about it. So just go ahead and feel free.
Fire away.
Really to answer it.
All right. So I'm going to be a little bit of a devil's advocate here and kind of pretend to be the average person listening right now. So how many tracks are on this album?
Is this like a quiz? Am I supposed to like? Well, there's 11 tracks.
Yeah.
But there's 10 songs. So one of the tracks is like an intro to another mm-hmm. song. I don't know. It just kind of felt, because it's speaking of the acoustic guitar, it's an acoustic song called Crossroads, and it's just this. That's like the calmest and the saddest song on the album, and it just had this nice intro, which kind of sounds like it's on an old radio or something like
that.
It
does, yeah.
And it has this sepia tone, or is it sepia? Sepia or sepia?
Sepia tone.
Sepia.
Tone, yeah. Sepia tone.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So it has this sepia tone, and I imagine, like, you know, when you're a young child and you're cradling in the chair or something, like rocking in the chair, whatever. And it kind of gives me this vibe. So I thought that that's a, you know, I really didn't want to smother the listener with that part, but I said, like, okay, why don't we put it as a separate track?
Right.
And why don't we call it Mechanisms, just like the album is called. So it's kind of like a cheesy move, but yeah.
So I listened to the album twice, and the first time I just kind of took all the songs.
But I couldn't listen to it the third time. Because I'm joking, I'm sorry.
No, I ran out of time. What happened was I had moved it all to my iTunes, and I see it's labeled like whatever, 1, 2, whatever it is. But the problem was, the first time I listened to it, I didn't move it to my iTunes. I just played it off of this default player thing. So it played track 1, 11, 10, 7, later, it went like out of order. And I was like, I was like, all right, I mean, whatever it is, what it is. And then when I put it onto iTunes and listen to it as it's chronologically supposed to, I'm like, oh, this makes more sense.
That's a very important thing, actually. You know, I know there are some albums out there that just, it's more important than you could imagine, because I think that there are some albums that don't really work very well because the track list should have been different. But then there are some track lists that are just perfect, as if they had made them into one big track. So I think that's very important.
That's like MF Doom. All of his songs flow together. You can't take any of them out.
Come again?
MF Doom.
Ah, I've heard of.
He's like, he was, rest in peace. He was an underground rapper.
And oh, yeah. Oh, dear.
All of his, and he always performed with like a skull mask on. Interesting dude.
Ah, yeah, I remember. I remember, but I didn't ever listen to it, to be honest.
It's something like, it's almost like you have to do one time and be like, all right, okay, I know who you're talking about. But
I'm going to listen to it, definitely. There's so much music that you should listen to. It's like, I don't know what to listen to first. You know, it's like, listen to this and this and this and this and this. And that's the beauty of.
Yeah, exactly.
So much music in the world.
I used to be the type of guy that would just listen to songs, but I feel like, as we discussed with albums, I fear that song, although it might have been a really great single, feels more appropriate when I listen to the album in its entirety.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of fits.
Mm.
Exactly. It's just the entire story. Today we mentioned that it's really nice to know the background of some songs. You told me about that guy, oh dear, Belly?
Yep, Belly.
Featuring The Weeknd, and then you told me the story behind that, and it just gets a little bit more weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can relate to this when people ask, you know, when artists ask for people to just please listen to the album in its entirety, please don't skip tracks, listen in this order. That's just, you know, it's how it should be. And I have a problem with this kind of like, now one more, another boomer alert kind of moment, but I have a problem with, because we've established that we are boomers, right? Based on our technological
knowledge.
Capacities.
There you go.
Knowledge. I was going to say that I kind of have a problem with the very impatient culture of today. Very, everything is so instant. It's like, okay, it's cool, you know, you can just watch some short videos on TikTok or just scroll through Facebook and so on, but what happened to like actually listening to music, you know? And you don't have 45 minutes of your precious time to listen to something that was worked on for like 5 years, you know? I don't buy that. So I think those people are missing out on so much, you know?
And that's unfortunate. And I've noticed too that even albums, they used to be like an hour, hour and a half long. Now they're just 40 minutes, like 30 minutes, some albums. And I was like, that's a sitcom, bro.
Yeah, no, that's like an episode of Friends. I was going to say that, you know, well, actually, you know, some albums I think they should be short. Mm. Interesting thing is, for example, one of my favorite rock albums is Meteora by Linkin Park.
Mm.
And but it's such a short album. I didn't even know that until I saw it's like 33 minutes long. But I think that if it had rambled on for a little bit longer, it would have been too much, because especially because of the type of music that this is.
Very heavy.
It would be kind of repetitive. So I don't really mind. I don't really care about the duration of the album, but just please don't stop making albums. Many people have asked me, like, why do you make albums? Nobody listens to albums anymore. And I'm like, well, why should we ever do stuff that somebody else expects us to do? Why don't we do what we want, right?
Break the mold, exactly. If everyone's doing the same thing, it's boring, right? There's a... Canadian rapper named Classified, and he talks about that in one of his songs. He goes, everyone's trying to pop like a Pringle, and all they're trying to do is just make singles, essentially, right?
I have something, as a matter of fact, now that you mentioned Pringles, look at this. This kind of reminds me of the Pringles box.
Oh my lord. What is that?
This is for cleaning the TV, and it looks like it's just this huge cleaning the TV and screen. So when you said Pringles, I immediately looked at that and thought of it. But yeah, that's a good point to make. I think that everything is so very fast. And this comes from a guy who has an attention span of a goldfish, and that's me, you know. Yeah.
You've been doing well for this interview, though.
Yeah, well, that's because we're talking about something that I'm interested in. If we were to start talking about politics, I would just phase out right away. Okay, so yeah, that's about that.
All right, now on the album, what song was the absolute hardest to make? The one where you would lay in bed at night and be like, I need to scrap this. But you're also like, no, don't. And you're like, ah, my sanity.
Oh, my dear. Mm-hmm. You know, I was actually, when I was thinking, I'll be honest with you, I was thinking about how maybe one day people would ask me this and I wouldn't know which one to say because there's so many of them. Actually, I think it's Undo. Just like I said, Undo is the song that I personally, I always imagined that song to be like, and some of our friends helped us get the sound, and I think it's getting there. Undo is this kind of, because I told you that I really like some electronic stuff, and I love trip hop so much. I love Massive Attack, Portishead, and all that stuff. I don't know, that British school of atmosphere in music. Mm-hmm. It's just the 90s. I'm a 90s child, you know, so that's why I really wanted it to be something between, I wanted this song to be a standout when it comes to the sound. So sonically, it will be the least organic song, and that's why it's just a challenge, because, you know, it's new for us. Mm-hmm. We are not really, you know, we are actually, the funny thing is that we are already planning on making songs for our second album, and we have some really cool ideas, and then we are like, oh, you got this has to be like a little bit more synthetic, and yeah, but mind you, we are not going EDM or something like that. When I say electronic, you know, most people confuse. In Serbia, for example, when you say electronic music, they kind of they find it, they see it equal as or equal to EDM. But that's okay. Not it, you know, it's just a little bit more like maybe electronic drums instead of real drums, a little bit of more synthetic. So this was definitely the most difficult song to make, this one and Encounter, which is the heaviest track on the album. Yeah, those two were hell. Undo was hell. Hypnotic was also a little bit of a hell, because I wanted it to be personally, when I imagined that song, I wanted it to be very busy, you know, and it's kind of chaotic. So yeah, how do you make it chaotic and still make it audible, you know? So that's it.
It's a very interesting point. This is why I do comedy and you do music, because I would have absolutely no way of figuring that out. Start screaming, maybe like eating chips midway through the...
Crying in your... in your shower, like, and, you know, the thing is, I could never write a book. I don't know, how do people write books? That's just insane. That's the point of, it's like an art piece that I could never, ever do.
I feel like you'd be able to do it if you had a writer with you. So if you're like, here are my thoughts, write it. And then be like...
cheating, right?
Hey, a lot of people do it, man. Like, I've heard of certain comedians and it's a band, Axl Rose, the dude from Axl Rose, anyways, I completely just botched that, not the band Axl, but the guy Axl Rose. He had a writer for his book that he just recently brought out, and so did his mother for her book. So it says written by, but it's half written by, so it's written with and written whatever. But yeah,
if you're making like some memoir type thing, or if you have an idea, but that's okay, I think. But I don't know. I think that I couldn't do it because I could never let anybody write my song.
Apart from
my bandmates, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if I'm collaborating with somebody. But like, for example, somebody penned the song for us. No, I could never do that. I would feel like I'm betraying myself.
So you're saying if I wrote you an awesome song, you wouldn't sing it?
Only if we collaborated on that.
I would just stand there. I have no musical skill. I'd just be like...
I don't think so. You know, nobody knows if they have musical skill until they try it. I wasn't singing in the band at first. I was this kind of like man in the shadow type thing. You know, I was just... We had a girl singer. Mm. And because basically the idea for Ego was to make a kick-ass rock band led by a female vocal, mm-hmm. like Garbage or Skunk Anansie or something like that, very much inspired by the 90s alternative rock, which I think that alternative rock was at its peak in the 90s. It's just, you had everything. And the most interesting thing is that alternative rock was pop of that time, you know? Yeah. Sorry. So basically, I wouldn't even dare to sing. But then, you know, after a while, I just started and tried. And I was like, hey, maybe I can do this. So maybe you can sing, but you don't know that you can sing.
I mean, my shower head would argue otherwise. So would my steering wheel, I suppose. And everybody.
Shampoo bottle and the shower gel are your judges.
When I sing, the birds fly. That's how bad it is. Like, it's not good.
Maybe they feel liberated.
Exactly. Inspired to fly away. Now, what was the easiest song to write on this album?
Oh, that's a great question. Ah,
I love when you say that. I'm like, oh, yes.
The easiest song to make on the album. Oh, my dear. Well, I think it may have been The Road. Because, okay. To be quite honest, that was the song that my friend who... used to play with me and he helped me make the album before the guys were became a part of Ego. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is like the part when I mentioned collaboration. He had this really beautiful melody from the beginning and I really really liked it, and I said, okay, can you play that and I will sing over it. So I just sang over it, and then it kind of really clicked. And then our drummer and this previous guitar player who actually helped co-create The Road, I went to the toilet or something, we were having a rehearsal, and I come back and I hear them playing that end, and I was like, whoa, that's great. So it just came together really really quickly and easily. And I think that Slide Away came also very easily. What? Toilet.
You're like, I went to the toilet, came back, and they were doing stuff. I just imagine you're like, holy shit, that was good. And yeah, so was this.
Yeah, but that, exactly. I mean, as wrong as it comes out when you say it like that, it was really, really like that. And that's like, this song just clicked. And Slide Away, which is actually the first song apart from Ground Zero, which was an old song, and Crossroads, which I had the melody for a while, the first full song that came with my voice, for my voice. So the first song that I made for my singing voice was Slide Away, and it kind of came really easily, but it was hell to record the vocals.
So Slide Away.
I would get it right like this, but it was so difficult. And Slide Away might be our favorite song as a band, you know.
It's my favorite song on the album.
Awesome.
I remember you asked me before in the pre-interview, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
You're like, what's your favorite song? I'm like, you have to wait 4.5 hours to find out.
Okay, but now I'm interested because you said that Butterfly Effect is your third. Mm-hmm. Slide Away is the first. Which one is the second?
So it's The Road. The Road?
Oh.
Road. The Road.
Yeah, The Road is that. The Road is like a breather on the album.
It was brilliant.
Almost halfway through, and it's just this. When I listen to The Road, I imagine that you're like after, because the previous song is the right mistake. And by the way, I was really happy when you said that you felt like you listened to the story.
Mm-hmm.
That really means a lot.
Oh, my pleasure.
Not just saying that. So the right mistake, which is track number 4 on the album, is actually it's like about driving through your life, and the things that you see through the window are the things that have happened to you in your life. And it's like, I imagined it, like you're driving in the car, actually you're in the back seat, and it would be cool if the car was like automatic car with no driver. What do they call that?
Tesla, like auto driving and stuff.
For alert number 3. And then you're like, the car is empty, you're just in the back, and then you look through the window and you just look, you see the story of your life. And then the road is like about actually coming to this destination. And the destination is, for me, traveling from Serbia to Greece. And then in the morning when we arrive, and it's just, you know, you probably have a bad morning breath, but you feel like you have been chewed by a whale or something like that. You come out of the car and it feels so good to finally have arrived. So that's why The Road is such a nice song for me, I think.
It's definitely a road trip song, 100% of the way.
Cool, nice.
Oh, I like it. Good. I don't know.
I really hope that people will listen to it one day like that.
Well, here's the thing. When I start traveling again, because right now Canada just, or yeah, I guess Ontario, the province I'm in, we just started going into phase 2, or technically phase 1 of reopening. We were locked down for a while there from COVID. Oh, yeah. And we just, like, patios just opened up. So I will be doing shows again. And
hey.
I'll, thank you. And I'll be for sure playing this song as I drive. I actually want Hypnotech to be the song I walk out to if I get a chance to request a song.
Oh, that
would
be great.
Yeah, if I get
I'm honored.
No, I like the song, right? But it's like that's my 4th favorite song in the album. But I feel like you said, it's the most poppy one.
It is.
Because I feel
it
like
the poppiest one.
Yeah, and I feel like if I were to just play randomly, like, I don't know, Slide Away, it wouldn't have as much of an effect if I were to walk on the stage.
Right? Oh, yeah, because otherwise people will think that you're going to make them cry.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm
Slide
like,
Away
all right.
Is very, it's a kind of like a somber kind of song.
But I like it, though. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like you were talking
but
to
I,
me.
Maybe I should write some happier stuff. I don't know.
No, it's all good. Write your soul. You know what I mean? That's what you gotta do, man. No, you're like, my soul's dark.
It's worse and worse. Like, let's not open that door.
That Pandora's box. The next album.
The ideas for the next album are really good, and I'm really happy to have these guys in the band now, because to be 100% honest, the first album felt like, you know, of course I had people doing the songs with me, but and amazing collaborators, you know. Mm-hmm. Just really, really wonderful people, and but creating it was a little bit of a lonely process, and now it feels really good too, because Ilya, our guitar player, is insanely creative.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this the difference between him and I is that he is very much focused. When he starts working on one song, he wants to go through the entire song. And when it comes to me, I work a little bit on this and a little bit on that, but I get lost, you know, and it's kind of hard to follow me. But it's really nice to have somebody who is kind of like goal-oriented, and his ideas are amazing. And it just feels really good to know that I don't really need to be the one who thinks about it all, and I just ask, okay, so what do you want me to do here? Because I trust him very much, and I trust the other guys too. It's just, it's good to have them.
Exactly. You need some yin to your yang, otherwise it's not going to go very well.
Absolutely. Because, honestly, you know, you get tired of yourself sometimes.
I get tired.
And not just that, but the beauty of people in your band listening to other music is what makes you a band.
Of course.
If you make a song, you know, because every creator, every artist, tends to repeat themselves, you know, repeat himself, herself, themselves. Oh my God, I'm not good with this, you know.
Pronouns.
Yeah, the political correct stuff. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to say that it's every artist tends to repeat what they were doing, and after a while you just find that you are like spinning around, and it's good to have somebody say, oh, okay, that's good, but what about this?
And, yeah,
like a puzzle of different pieces that kind of come together, and that's why it's beautiful. Wow. So yeah, I'm really happy and I'm so excited for that. Not to mention, I mean, it's needless to say that I can't wait for the first album to go out. But I think that the moment when it's released, we're never going to listen to it again. And we're just going to start focusing on the second album.
You had touched earlier about a music video, a second one, right? When do you feel like that's going to get recorded?
The plan is for it to get recorded, I'm hoping, next month in July. Mm. But it's going to take a little bit to get it together. So, as I said, you know, I don't want to say too much about it, but Butterfly Effect is the opening track on the album. It's just so important for us. It's the song that feels so good to play, and I can't wait for it. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, an easy solution for the opening track on the album to open the set, but I really can't wait for us to open with Butterfly Effect. And when it comes to the video, it's going to be a little bit more complex, because this guy that is going to do it is insanely talented. As a matter of fact, he was a university friend of mine, but after finishing English, he went on to study camera. So the guy has 2 degrees.
Right.
Crazy.
Love it.
But I love him to bits, and he is so talented. And you know, he's the kind of guy who you ask him, you want to do this, and he says yeah, and he says you say, so like, what are the conditions? He says, like, just let me do it. And I'm like, okay, so I trust him so much, so I don't know anything except for that. And probably we're going to release another like lyric video before that.
Oh, okay. Summer. Perfect. I was going to say, because I know with Stellar Sound, they want me to come over to Amsterdam, and they want me to sit down and record a bunch of episodes, you know, for the show. I don't know when that'll be, at some point in the future. But basically, if you ever need a Canadian actor, I would love to make a free cameo in your thing. Just walk by.
That would be great. Okay. Well, when we are around Canada, I'm going to let you know. Or if you're around Europe, given that you are half German or something like that, you might visit Europe. Yeah.
Of course. Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, if I hit up the Netherlands, I told my Oma, I'm like, yo, I'm going to go there for, I don't know when, I think 10 days or whatever it is. And she's like, then go over to Germany, I'll meet you there. And I was like, all right. So,
particularly if you go to Netherlands and Germany, and then you can come to Serbia. Why not?
100%, man. I'd be like, Stein! Come meet everybody.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, sir, we've been at this for 57 minutes now. Is there anything else you want to discuss, or shall we wrap this up?
Well, I don't know. I just want to say that it feels really good to talk to you, and you're a great host.
Oh, thank you so much.
And this is the very, very first interview, if I can say so, or talk.
Yeah.
Interview sounds kind of like, I don't know, when you say interview, I feel like I'm some kind of you know,
big shot.
Yeah, like some kind of egocentric.
Dude, egocentric. Own it. This is an interview. I'm asking you questions about your process, about who you are, how you got here. Just because we're the first person.
Like, it feels nice to have this also as a little bit of a casual talk, because I don't think that interviews should be so, formal or something.
Yeah. Next question.
Yeah. So I just got to say that it was really great talking to you, and I hope that we get the chance to chat again, maybe after the album is out.
Of course. Well, I have your number. I'll probably just keep texting you. You seem like a really solid dude, and you're funny as hell. So,
thank you so much. Well, coming from a comedian, that's good. Right.
I appreciate that.
So next thing we got to hear you sing. Maybe you can be a guest vocalist in some of our songs, maybe the rap one.
Oh my god, yeah, I would love to do that. Where can casual fans find you? Where can fans from North America find you guys on social media?
There's a Facebook page, mm-hmm. and there's an Instagram page, and there's a YouTube channel, and for now we only have this one video. However, I think that we are seriously planning on releasing another song soon. And I really, really hope that this song that we have been working on and believing in comes its way, finds its way to the audience all over the world, you know. But yeah, it's just really, if I wish for one song to be heard by people, I think it's Hypnotech. Yep.
Oh my God, Hypnotech is so good. I'm gonna listen to it again after this. I think if what you should do, and I, like, honestly, Hypnotech is such a powerful song, I would try to find the MMA community in Serbia, if there is one, and be like,
what the hell is that?
Mixed martial arts.
Oh dear.
Right, that's, and just so be terrible. Like, hey, walk out to this song.
MMA, okay, I'm gonna check that out definitely later.
Because there's like the biggest one is UFC, but then there's also ONE Championship. There's smaller promotions, right? And there's like a Russian one, and I'm fairly certain there's got to be a Serbian one.
Probably.
Like, yeah.
And what do I do next when I find them? Just say.
You contact everybody on there, and you're like, hey, I'm a band. Could you walk out to this song?
Yeah, we're not a band.
We're a band, yeah. Be like, here's our stuff. Here's our song. It's amazing. I think you would look really cool walking out to this song.
Oh, nice.
And they do it. Good. Yeah. Because usually the announcers are like, the song is whatever, whatever by whatever, whatever. So.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
We're going to keep in touch for more details. When it comes to that, okay. Because I'm definitely going to forget the name of that.
I'll tell you what. I'll even search up Serbian mixed martial arts promoters for you. Wait.
I know what MMA is. Jesus. Just a moment. I think we do have that. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've never exactly looked it up.
The Serbian MMA Federation. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, nice. Exactly.
Oh, wait, what if the guys don't like that song? Maybe they will kick my ass?
Well, then, could you imagine being like, haha, boom. You just recommend another one. Be like, oh, this isn't your favorite? Or even recommend three songs. Be like, well, the album's not out yet, so it'd be kind of hard. But
I should give them Fire. I mean, the song Fire.
You should. You should. Or give them money. One of the two.
No, because Fire is such a slow song, and maybe they would really need to kick me in the ass for it. Yeah. Imagine an MMA fighter walking through da, 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 the slow stuff. Yeah.
You're like flexing. And they're like,
that would be
ridiculous. I mean, yeah. You could psych the opponent out. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, maybe it would confuse them.
Can imagine. All right. I'm just going to wrap this up with reading the promotion one last time. So, ladies and gentlemen, this episode with Milan from the band Ego, which check out their latest single, Hypnotech, which I thought it was pronounced Hypnotech, but I was like, whatever. It's a great song. Love it. Poppy as sin. It's a song I'd sing to in the shower if I could, but I can't sing. We all established that. And this episode, this interview was brought to you in part by Faye, FAE Games. And they came out with a new version of, or an add-on extension to Dungeons & Dragons Series 5 called Corruption of Cavestar. You guys got to check it out. I'm waiting for mine. I've already got to read a little bit of it. So good. So excited. And you know, when I get this, I'm going to have to play it. I'm going to record myself. I'll take it to Serbia, Milan, and we'll get the whole band playing together. It'll be awesome. I'll be the leader of everything. It'll be fantastic.
My best friend is obsessed with Dungeons & Dragons, so yeah.
I love Maybe your best friend. All right, anyways. Thank you guys for your time. You guys were amazing, and we'll have to see you on the flip side. Yeah. Deuces.
Thank you very much.